Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons podcast, where today I watched Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling with my friend Daniel James Richardson. Daniel uses he, him pronouns. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm here if you need to talk. I've chosen you for the specific task because I know that you know all the bullshit about wrestling, Daniel.
Oh, all of the bullshit. And you picked a good time to cover a wrestling show as well, because like with WrestleMania coming up, we're technically on WWE's trademark road to WrestleMania, as they like to remind you every 10 seconds of every episode of Raw. And we're also just come off the Royal Rumble, which was amazing. One of the best I've had in possibly forever. Really, really, really good Rumble. Really amazing thing happened at it. This is a cool story, whether you know anything about wrestling or not.
Okay, I do not. So I hope this is a cool story for me.
It is a genuinely cool story. So here's where I go on my mad, passionate wrestling tangent. Do you know anything about the Royal Rumble? Do you know how the match works or anything?
Is this the one with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, or is that something else?
That could be the Royal Rumble because of the way the Royal Rumble works. So the Royal Rumble, right? It's the big pay-per-view before WrestleMania. There are pay-per-views between this and WrestleMania, but this is the big one. And it decides the main event of WrestleMania. That's the whole crux of the Royal Rumble. So basically what happens is two people enter the ring, and then every 2 minutes or every 90 seconds or whatever time they're set after that, another person enters the ring until there's 30 entrants. And basically, the winner is the last person left in the ring. You have to throw everybody else out of the ring. And if you win, you are allowed to face the champion, world champion, in the main event of WrestleMania.
Did you say there's 30 people in the ring at the same time?
There could in theory be, but
oh, okay.
There's normally a maximum of like 15 at most.
Okay.
I don't know what the most amount, because basically what happens is as people are getting in, people are being thrown out, like it's an ongoing thing. So like, you know, by the time that number 17's entered, numbers like 1 through 5 and some random like 9 or whatever, they have probably been thrown out at that point. So it's the wrestlers pile in. But the big selling point of the Royal Rumble is that you have absolutely no idea, bar like a handful of entrants, who's going to be in it. So it's always like a crazy big surprise.
Right.
And they always have like
Mad Dog or Rowdy. Wait, he's dead.
It was Rowdy Piper just a few years back. So they do shit like that where it's like, oh, I haven't seen this guy in like 20 years. And they'll have
right.
like the nostalgia pop, as they call it. But yes, Rowdy Piper is dead now. So I'd be very surprised if he showed up this time.
One of the only wrestlers that I would really recognize. It's like Andre, Hulk, Rowdy Piper, because I watched They Live a lot. I don't know, Randy Savage?
Everybody, yeah, Randy Savage is the big other one.
Just because of Spider-Man, mainly, Bonesaw McGraw.
Yes, what about Stone Cold? Stone Cold Steve Austin? And obviously The Rock. Everybody knows The Rock.
Stone Cold, I guess. John Cena. Okay, I guess there's a lot of them. But not as many as there should be.
Undertaker.
I would not recognize The Undertaker. Also, you're talking off mic. You got to get up on the mic if you're going to talk to the mic. Or yell, Reed. Just yell. Oh, my God. My boyfriend has been shunned out of the room.
But yeah, so this Royal Rumble, the whole thing is, obviously, you know, you can get, like, surprise entrants and people you wouldn't expect to see and stuff. So anyway, 9 years ago, there was this wrestler called Edge. Now, Edge had crawled his way up from
being... This is the guitar player from U2, or this is somebody else?
This is somebody else. This is not the Edge.
This is Edge.
No, this is the Edge. That other Edge is the imposter.
I think they're both the Edge.
But anyway, so Edge is working his way up, and he becomes basically the main character of the show. He creates this persona, what he calls the Rated R Superstar. He becomes the most popular thing in the WWE programming at the time. He main events WrestleMania. He's having a whale of a time. Everybody loves him. He's a really, really, really good villain. People love to hate him. And unfortunately, he goes through some rough bumps across his career, and these take a toll on his body, until one time he takes a bump on his neck and he's out for injury, which he's been out for a couple of injuries at this point. And basically, the 9 years ago, the doctors turn around and they tell him, like, mate, you're done. Like, you are never, ever, ever going to wrestle again. Like, right. I'm really sorry. And he came out and he did his retirement speech, and he had to, like, say goodbye to everybody. And, you know, he ended on, like, the sentiment of, like, even though it's, you know, took all this toll on my neck and my body and stuff, he's like, if I could do it all again, I would in a heartbeat. You know, wrestling gave us my wife, and in turn gave us my children. Wrestling gave us, like, the best times of my life. It gave us so many friends. It gave us a new family. And he just kind of said his goodbyes, and unfortunately, like, he had to leave. He's never, ever been in a ring ever since. And then at Royal Rumble, just gone, his fucking theme music hits, and the entirety of the, and this massive sold out stadium go absolutely nuts. And the smoke picks up by the entrance ramp, and he pours out and he comes through the smoke, and he's there all this time, unbeknownst to anyone. He's been working his ass off with medical advancements and with his own, like, physiotherapy and stuff. He managed to finally get to a point where doctors have cleared him and he's healthy to make a comeback. And he doesn't know how long he's going to stick along, but at least this time he's going to go out on his terms. And I just think it's mint, especially right. when you consider, like, his last words 9 years ago before he left were like, if I could do it all again, I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Now he is getting to do it again. And I think that's a cool story, like, regardless if you're into wrestling or not. I just think that's awesome.
Yeah, but is it as cool a story as the time that Hulk Hogan went to space to save a bunch of stranded astronauts? Because I kind of feel like, in comparison to that, the Edge is kind of a pussy. That's all I gotta say. I mean...
That is true. I mean, Hulk Hogan himself will tell you at the ends of episodes of Rockin' Wrestling that there's nothing more exciting than Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling.
And probably at the beginning, too. He's got little interstitials throughout the show.
Yeah. I love the intro to the show as well, where it just paints him to be like this absolute messiah figure. You know, it's got that old theme in the background where it's like, Hulk.
Yeah.
Hulk. And all the kids are, like, following him and just touching him as he leads, like, this crowd of, like, Hulkamaniacs through the streets of New York or somewhere. I don't know. I know nothing of American towns, but it looks like a big ass city.
I mean, this show is so incredible just from the aspect of watching, like, this weird vanity project where every single episode has to be about how, like, Hulk Hogan is the greatest man that ever lived and all of his friends are the greatest friends that ever lived, and Rowdy Roddy Piper and all of his friends are a bunch of shitheads. They're going to fuck it up every time, you know? Like,
that was Hulk Hogan's entire career, though. Hulk Hogan's entire career was based around him telling you that he was the greatest person that ever lived. And occasionally the wrestling division that was booking him would agree with that and really force that message down your throat.
Right.
Which is hilarious because Hulk Hogan is famously a massive shithead.
Well, I mean, and it's funny to see how, like, the 80s mythologized him into, like, this superhero, essentially, you know, with no holds barred, which is actually a movie that I really like. I don't know why I thought I knew nothing about Hulk, because I've seen No Holds Barred, which is a great documentary about his life.
Yes.
About how wrestling is real and people that are trying to fake wrestling are actually evil and deserve to be fried alive in electrical circuits.
Isn't there, like, correct us if I'm wrong, because I get my Hulk Hogan movies mixed up, because there's a surprising amount of them.
Yeah.
Is that the one where the dude shits his pants?
Yes.
And they have this, like, extended out gag where Hulk Hogan, like, makes this horrible contorted mess of a face and goes, Dookie!
Yeah.
In, like, that really dumb voice.
Basically what happens is he's beating up like 12 guys at one time with his bare hands, all these guys with guns. He's just beating them up. And he picks up the limo driver and he's like, what's that smell? And the guy's like, Dookie!
Oh, God.
And then he throws him into a wall.
Oh, man.
It's a great, great film. It's really worth your time. But we're not talking about No Holds Barred. Today we are talking about Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestlin' from 1985. Starring not Hulk Hogan,
starring none of the wrestlers.
None of them
star a single wrestler.
Hulk Hogan here, played by Brad Garrett, in like a first role, I think, from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, it's staggering. I mean, me being like intimately familiar with the people they're based on, it is staggering how much they do not sound even remotely like they're live-action counterparts. Rowdy Roddy Piper is, what the hell is going on there?
He's like Lucky the Leprechaun. Like, did Rowdy Roddy Piper have an Irish accent in the 80s? Or because I've only seen like him in movies.
No, not even slightly. Not even Scottish. I know his whole gimmick was like the, you know, he's the Piper.
Oh, Scottish like, and Irish, I get mixed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was hailed as being from Scotland, but like he has no accent whatsoever. Like, well, an American accent or a Canadian accent. I can't remember which one he's from. But he just sounds nothing like whatever this guy's doing.
Yeah.
It's none of them do. Like, I thought Andre the Giant sounded like, to me, someone doing an impression of what Andre the Giant would sound like if they'd only ever seen a picture of Andre the Giant.
Right. You know,
like, oh, he's big, so he must talk like this, that kind of thing. It's like, the dude was, like, heavily, heavily French accented, and that did not come across from, like, this at all. Hulk Hogan sort of, kind of, was probably the closest, maybe. He kind of sounds like Hulk Hogan, but not really. The others are just all over the place. Nobody sounds like anybody.
I mean, I was really confused because we talked about this a little bit before we recorded, but I didn't know anything about wrestling at all. Like, I honestly know nothing about wrestling. And so I thought that Junkyard Dog was Mr. T. And I was like, what are they? Why does Mr. T keep talking about going back to the junkyard? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, easy mistake to make because Mr. T fought in WrestleMania 1, I want to say.
Something that I definitely knew about.
Yeah, well, to be fair, like, a lot of people associate him with, you know, early days WWF just through, like, pop cultural osmosis. And, you know, Lou Albano, who's actually in this, like, he had, like, a whole thing with Cyndi Lauper, and he was in the video for, like, Girls Just Want to Have Fun and stuff. Wrestling in the 80s was huge. Like, it was everywhere.
This cartoon is really wild because, like we were talking about earlier, it's definitely, like, an ego project. Like, an episode that I watched, I had you watch one, but I watched, like, three or four. And one of them was, like, literally, they're astronauts stranded in space. They need the strongest men in the world to go up to space and break open this door. So, of course, they bring in a bunch of professional wrestlers. So they get, like, Hulk and his crew, and then they show up, and Roddy and his crew are all there. And they're like, what? You're not going to space. I'm going to space. And they kind of all duke it out. And then in the end, it ends up being Hulk Hogan and the Russian guy. And it ends up being like this weird like Cold War thing, kind of.
To be fair, that's legit. That's legit. Like, they did that sort of narrative so much in the 80s. Like,
in wrestling?
It was always, you know, oh, for sure.
Oh.
For sure. Hulk Hogan's theme, like, his theme music used to be like the intro music to this show.
Right.
They changed it to I Am a Real American. And his whole gimmick was, you know, coming out, waving the flag. And then he like leg drop, you know, the nearest Russian and or Arabian and
right.
or like it was just like nearest available foreigner. And then like when they ran out of foreigners, they had this this is hilarious, like I'm struggling to even say it. So they have this guy, Sergeant Slaughter, who was one of Hulk Hogan's, you know, good guy buddies.
Uh-huh. And his name was Sergeant Slaughter?
Sergeant Slaughter.
And he was a good guy. Okay.
He was a good guy. And his whole gimmick was that he was like an army sergeant, you know, take no prisoners, real American hero, you know, he'd come out in like the combat boots and tear and hurt and all that stuff.
Right.
And when they wanted Hulk Hogan to feud with Sergeant Slaughter, because Hulk Hogan was the bigger star, they were like, well, he has to be the good guy, but we can't sell this narrative that Hulk Hogan is the bigger American hero than the guy
American
who is
hero.
Actually,
right.
you know, the American hero. So they made Sergeant Slaughter an Iraqi sympathizer.
Uh-huh.
And that was his heel turn. And he was like, yeah, he was like all of, you know, on the side of the Iraq war and stuff. And, you know, there was like the doctored pictures of him with like war generals and leaders and stuff. And,
oh my God.
You know, and him just shaking hands. And yeah, and he turned his back on his country in America. And then Hulk Hogan had the leg drop the sense back into him, you know?
Oh, so in the end, he did love America again because Hulk slammed him so hard.
I don't know, because I did not follow that storyline to its completion, being
okay.
that A, I was born after it, and B, Jesus Christ, am I not watching that from start to finish? But I know that Sergeant Slaughter did end up face again, face being meaning good guy in this sense.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that was just kind of like as a result of nostalgia, because that's quite a common thing in wrestling. Like somebody who's like a big bad villain kind of goes away for a while and then he'll come back and they'll be like, oh, we remember that guy. We love that guy. And then he's literally becomes a good guy just by association of nostalgia.
Yeah. I mean, that episode was really insane because it was Hulk Hogan and Nikolai in space. And they basically sent up Nikolai because he's strong. But like literally, basically, they have like a competition where like the whole gang has to go do all of these NASA tests.
Of course.
And Nikolai, when they send him in there, it's him against like Captain Lou, I think. And they have like a bunch of blocks that they have to put into holes and like neither of them can do it. And then somehow Nikolai still gets selected for the astronaut mission. So basically as Hulk and Nikolai are about to go up into space with a manned mission with a bunch of astronauts to fly the shuttle so that they can go up there and do their strong guy thing, Roddy Piper and one of his friends goes in and they kidnap the astronauts that were supposed to pilot the shuttle. And then it's just Hulk and Nikolai. And like Nikolai is like in the background, like eating food and like making a mess out of the shuttle while Hulk like pilots the entire thing by himself, a fucking NASA shuttle. Nikolai like fucks it up and goes flying off into space. Hulk saves him and then saves the day. And they get back down to Earth and Nikolai was like talking about how he saved the day and stuff. And it's like, okay, I get like the Cold War narrative here. This is fucking ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
this show's incredible.
It's something. I'd always intended to watch it because I always knew it was a thing. I think I was talking to you before the podcast was on. Like, it used to actually be on WWE Network, and then they took it off after the whole Gawker Hulk Hogan thing. So I never got to watch it, but I always like it was always one of those things of like, oh, I need to put one afternoon aside and watch that. And when I actually sat down to watch one of these episodes, I was like, wow, this is somehow both worse and better than I could ever have imagined.
Right, it definitely toes that line.
Yeah, I love like the really transparent merchandising attempts. I mean, wrestling already is kind of that anyway, but like they just give them all like these ridiculously overly complicated muscle cars and monster trucks and stuff, and they're just there. Like, at least in the episode I saw, they're not relevant at all. It's just everybody gets a themed car, like just so we can sell that, you know?
So you just watched the one episode that I assigned to you, or did you watch a couple?
No, I just saw that one. But, like, it's enough to go on, because there was the two episodes in that one episode. And one of them with Andre the Giant taking over a bakery was like, what is this?
Yeah, let's talk about that one first, because that was pretty good. Basically, Andre the Giant's mom is coming to town, and he's never told her before that he's a wrestler. And so when she comes to town, for some reason, she's never expressed disinterest in wrestling or anything like that. He's just like,
oh, my mom's coming to town. I need to do something else. And they're like, well, let's make you a French pastry chef, brother.
Yeah, specifically French pastry as well, because his mom likes French pastry.
Yeah.
And they just like go down the road and literally steal a French pastry baker's. And they're just like, this is ours now.
They like bust into his shop and he's like, no, you can't take over my shop for the day. And then they all just like flex their muscles and he's like, oh, bye. And he runs out the window. Yeah. It's like, Jesus Christ, this is intimidation tactics. This is horrible.
Yeah. Like, one, right? Yeah, like you say, his mom's never said like, oh, don't become a wrestler. Like, I'm worried for your safety.
And in fact, she fucking loves wrestling.
Yeah. But also, like, how does she not know he's a wrestler? How?
When all of his friends are clearly wrestlers.
Yes, he's literally like, why does she think he's hanging around with Hulk fucking Hogan? Like, why is Hulk Hogan picking her up from the airport? Would you not at that point be like, hold up. Wait,
right.
Why are you associated with my son? And it's not like he's turning up in civilian gear, because at all times in this show, Hulk Hogan is fully kitted out in his ring gear. You know, the little like... short, like, little sports trunks and, you know, the athletic vest thing. Like, they're just walking around like that, just, like, whenever they chill. Like, they don't ever change. It's hilarious.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of insane that the president of the United States knows him as the Hulkster, but Andre the Giant's mom has never even heard of Hulk Hogan. Like, you would think in this weird world that they've created where he is the most famous man in the world that everybody would know the Hulkster, but she doesn't realize that Andre is a wrestler. She comes to his shop where they're like trying to bake her a cake, and somehow it just like takes over the entire shop, like just like dough that seems anthropomorphized, like it seems to be alive.
And then like Jimmy Superfly Snuka, known murderer, jumps in it and does his like finishing move, like the Superfly splash. And you're just like, you know, you're just taken back at like, hang on, what the hell am I watching?
Well, at the time, I can only assume that he was not a known murderer. I can only assume that he was just a regular unknown murderer, because I don't know anything about this guy.
It's one of those like, he's like, not to go too much into this because this is obviously pretty grim, but he's one of those like, he was never found guilty, but you know, neither was OJ. That's all I'm saying. Like,
right.
it's a that kind of thing. Like, this guy probably did it, but anyway,
okay.
There's so much of it's like aged really badly, because like so much of that cast is like, most of it on the faces, like on the good guy side as well, are like really, really awful people. Like Roddy Piper was a sound dude. Roddy Piper was a lovely guy by
all
accounts.
Yeah, as far as I
know. Nobody's had anything bad to say about Roddy Piper. He was a very nice guy. But like Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Snuka, who else was on the good guy side?
Mad Dog.
Junkyard Dog.
Junkyard Dog. I don't know these things.
Oh. The Fabulous Moolah was on the bad guy side. She's awful. She turned out to basically be like a pimp who was like engaging in trafficking. And it's like really weird with like the knowledge of this hindsight.
Right. And then you're just watching them do like enter like a strong woman competition and go to space and play with a fucking genie.
Just, like,
and you're like, okay, guys.
Like goofy fun with Ted Bundy kind of like variety hour. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of thing. It's very surreal. It's like it's aged so poorly.
Yeah, I mean, the bakery subplot is so incredible how it wraps up, because as all of these wrestlers are like trying to wrestle down all of this anthropomorphized dough, I thought it was going to like go out and take over the city and they were going to have to like Godzilla style fight a giant dough kaiju. Not where it goes.
No, where it goes, it just completely pulls it out of its arse and just is like, this is what's happening now.
Yeah. And like, somebody comes in and tries to rob the bakery, basically sees all the professional wrestlers around and is like, I'm still doing this. Like, I don't think he has a gun, does he?
No, because, you know, like, they're not going to show the gun in the kids show.
Yeah.
So, like, this guy, and it's literally, like, 10 seconds from the end. Like, this is never, like, foreshadowed, you know, you don't never see him like plotting to rob it in the background. It's just like, you know, it's not like a known bakery that makes lots of money and it might attract it that way. It's just like, yeah, Andre the Giant becomes a baker for 20 minutes and then in the last minute some dude walks in and is like, nobody move, this is a stick up,
right?
And then his mom just wrestles, like Andre's mom just wrestles the dude, gets him in what looks like the Walls of Jericho, which wasn't a move that had been invented at that point. And is just like, yeah, I'm actually been learning wrestling at the women's school. And they're all like, oh, and we spent this whole time pretending Andre was a pastry chef. Wah, wah, wah. Like, what?
So that's good. I'm kind of shocked, though, that she didn't actually get to join the WWF at the time. Like, that they didn't bring in an old lady to play Andre's mom. But maybe they did. I don't know these things.
There have been old ladies brought in to play people's moms before, but not Andre the Giant, I don't think.
Okay.
Although they did do this thing that's kind of funny, where they had some guy who now is the Big Show, like also incredibly famous now, but at the time he was like a nobody. So Hulk Hogan left WWE at the time WWF to go to a rival company called WCW, and they put him in a rivalry, and they were just like, ah, this dude's really big. Let's call him the Giant. And he's kind of as big as Andre the Giant. Let's say he's Andre the Giant's son. He had no relation to Andre the Giant, this guy. Like, none whatsoever.
Right.
But, like, they had this whole storyline of, like, I'm gonna fight you to avenge my father.
Was this after Andre died? Because I don't know how long when he died.
I think it was before he died.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. The other part of the episode that we watched was called Clean Gene. It was about Gene, who I assume is like the ref.
He's a ring announcer. He's a ring announcer and like a backstage interviewer. And like, if you're not in the know, like, I suppose that sounds like kind of a minor role, but like, me and Gene Okerlund actually played like a hugely significant role in like 80s wrestling, because he was a great sort of straight man for the wrestlers to bounce off, and he knew just how to get like the best character out of them. So like, he became kind of a fan favorite, hence the nickname. You know, he was just Gene Okerlund, but he became such a like big name, he kind of ended up taking on his own alias, and that was Mean Gene Okerlund. And you know, Mean Gene would always interview the wrestlers backstage, and him interviewing Randy Savage was just some of the greatest stuff you'll ever see in your life. Anytime those two were on screen was just an absolute gem. So yeah, he played that kind of role, and he was good friends with like a lot of the wrestlers, and he was a big enough name to be in this, obviously.
Yeah, he's in like every episode of this show. I kind of feel like he was involved in a larger capacity that allowed him to be like a main character. Somehow he just like always pops up. They're like in space, and he's like, Mean Gene Okerlund here, and I got the scoop.
Do you know what I've just realized as well? Do you know what's really, really funny to me? None of the wrestlers in this show ever wrestle?
Mm-mm. No, they don't. They wrestle. They do wrestle like the dough at one
point. Yeah, but like that, like, because there's a bit in the Clean Gene one. So the plot of Clean Gene, for those listening, is Gene Okerlund has to go announce a match in Canada, and he's like, oh, I wish I didn't have to go because I've got to clean my house. And Hulk Hogan, being all American good guy that he is all like, hey, let's clean Mean Gene's house, because that'll be a cool surprise for him to come back to.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible how he says it, where he's like, oh, I just bought this house over at 863 Oakland Drive, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He just like says off the address, and I was like, that was weird. And then 10 seconds later, they're like, you just told us the address. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. And so the plan is to go and clean this house. But what struck me when I was first watching the episode is like Mean Gene's like, oh yeah, I gotta go announce this match in Canada, and I'm thinking, who for? All the wrestlers are here. Like, why aren't they going with you? Like, when do these guys wrestle? Like, it is weird because it's completely tangential that any of these guys are wrestlers. Like, it's the Rock and Wrestling Show, but they might as well be, you know, Captain Planet's team or whatever. For like, there's seemingly never any like nod to wrestling other than like, yep, these are the guys you see on TV. They're not going to wrestle.
Yeah.
Or mention wrestling or ever be seen in the ring, but they're definitely wrestlers because you know they are. Like, that's it.
And I guess that makes sense in a way of being like, these are the good guys, and these are the bad guys. But like, it's really stupid. Like, they don't ever wrestle.
It's so stupid.
They do like strong woman competitions in one episode, but usually they're like hanging out with a genie or going to space or
yeah.
Like Captain Lou did an episode where he was doing a crash diet where he had to lose 40 pounds in 10 days so he could weigh in for a match. And it's like, well, this is really stupid. Like, it just means nothing. So basically, they go over to Gene's house so they can try and clean up his mansion. They break in. Like, Junkyard Dog is like, yeah, I got my skeleton key on me. My Junkyard Skeleton Key.
Yeah. He just pulls that out of nowhere.
And breaks into his house. And then Roddy and his crew literally just, like, kick the door down. Like, Hulk and the crew are trying to clean up the place, but Roddy and his crew are trying to make a mess of it. And just keep, like, busting through the walls and like making a mess and eating all his food and destroying his giant mansion. And it's like, what? He's just going to come home and see you guys completely wrecking his house. Like, what the fuck?
It is ridiculous. It's even more ridiculous when the reveal, pretty much what you just said was happening, but it's not Mean Gene's house.
Right. He's like, yeah, I'm at 836, not 863. And they're like, whose house is this then?
And it's just a random ass policeman, and Roddy Piper's like, oh no.
I mean, it's basically, he says that he's the chief of police, and then he chases off Roddy and his crew with like a nightstick. And it's like, guess what, dude? Junkyard Dog and all of them still broke into your house. Like,
yeah.
Before Roddy and them did it, he did it. So, like, I don't know. I guess all of WWF is being incarcerated for life. I don't know.
Yeah, they're the bad guys, so he knows to chase them because he recognizes them from TV and they're all the heels. So he knows Hulk Hogan and Junkyard Dog and all the boys. They're the goodies. They don't do this shit.
Mm-hmm. Even though they did do it.
Yeah, what's funny actually is that doesn't even make sense, you know, to just have the wrestlers just so you can kind of clearly define they're the bad guys and these are the good guys. Because I happen to know that this show, obviously, like, animation takes so long to do that they couldn't keep up with current WWF storylines going on at the time. So, like,
right.
Rowdy Piper is, like, the villain for this show's whole run. He's, like, the main villain. But, like, within, like, a few months of it starting, he was a good guy again in, like, the real show. And then Andre the Giant, who's one of the good guys, is a good guy throughout the whole of Rock and Wrestling. But he, like, very, very famously turned heel and betrayed Hulk Hogan. And, you know, they were best friends and then had, like, this monumental huge match at WrestleMania 3 that's, like, one of the most iconic things in all of wrestling. And, like, that was going on while he's being, you know, the dastardly villain on TV. And then the kids are watching the same show where him and Hulk Hogan are best mates and they're driving around and going to space.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's got to be, there's a lot of twists and turns in wrestling. It's not like you can alert the animation crew of everything that's going to happen in the next 9 months. I assume they write it the day of.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it's still, like, funny to think. As a kid who was very much into the whole good guys, bad guys dynamic, that would have thrown me. Like, if I was watching this show, I'd have been like, why is Roddy Mean still on, like, the TV? And, like, why is Andre all nice when he's, like, a bad guy on telly? Like, It's weird that they chose with the animation to make that distinction rather than just have like a cycle of wrestlers almost, you know what I mean? Like, because there's more wrestlers than just those guys. Like, have Hulk be the consistent one and then have like a bunch of different people kind of appear in the show and then you kind of get away with that.
Yeah, but I guess that if you keep in the same crew all the time, then you can sell more toys. And that's really what they were going for with this. Like, it's all about merchandising and that's all that really matters.
That's fair, that's true.
One of the other episodes that I watched basically was, I only got to watch half of it because in the second half the audio cut out and I couldn't find another version online. But I kind of got the gist of it. Basically, Captain Wu, it's like his birthday and nobody's throwing him a birthday party. And Hulk is like, we got to get down to the gym, brother. We got to go work out. And he's like, oh, I guess. Okay. So he goes down to the gym and it turns out they did actually remember his birthday and they throw him a party. And Wendy gives him a lamp. That she's like, oh, I don't know. I found this old lamp at a garage sale. And he rubs it and a genie comes out and is like, yeah, I'll give you 3 wishes. It's just kind of an incompetent, like bumbling genie. Like it doesn't give him wrong wishes on purpose. It just kind of does it on accident. And his wishes are so insane. First of all, he wishes for a giant pizza. Cool. It's like, okay, so he goes outside and the Leaning Tower of Pisa is out there and they're like, get rid of this thing. And the genie's like, okay. And then he wishes for rubber bands, because I guess that Captain Wu's thing is that rubber bands, he likes them.
Yeah, he had like rubber bands in his face and stuff.
And so that's a weird thing to wish for, and the genie turns him into a giant rubber band, and he's like, oh, this isn't what I wanted, and he's like, okay, I guess I'll turn you back. And then he wishes for the genie to clean up his birthday party, and I'm like, dude, where is like the cure world hunger, cure, I don't know, in the middle of the AIDS epidemic? Like, fucking do something for humanity, Jesus. Dude.
I mean, even like, even outside of, you know, the humanity thing, those are just some lame ass wishes. Like,
oh, I want a giant pizza. I want rubber bands. Okay, dude, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, they do this same like premise in SpongeBob, but like they give those wishes and it's a punchline. You know what I mean? Like, they like can wish for anything, and like I think Patrick wishes for like a hot dog, and Squidward's like, "What are you doing?"
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's dumb as shit. Like, it's a punchline to wish for something that stupid. But I guess that's like Lou's character. He's like dopey, and oh, I'm just the fat one, I guess.
Right, but that's the thing, is that it's not played as a bit here. Like, it's just literally like, oh, good wish for the giant pizza, man. I want some pizza right now. And it's like, what? And so then the genie's like, they're like, why don't you hang out with us forever? And he's like, well, I can only get out of the lamp if somebody else gets trapped in there. So immediately after he says that, Wendy is like, oh, I wish I could see what it looked like inside that lamp.
Amazing.
She gets trapped inside the lamp. And then immediately, like, you just see like a car drive by outside. And then it just, like, drives by. It barely even stops outside their gym where they were at. And they're like, wait, they stole the lamp. I'm like, you didn't even fucking animate, like, somebody run through and stealing the lamp?
There's quite a lot of, like, lazy animation and stuff. Like, I noticed,
it's horrible.
I noticed there was a bit in the episode I saw where, like, Jimmy Snooker jumps and, like, falls flat on his face.
Right.
On, like, hard floor, and there's just no sound effect whatsoever. There's like the animation of a sound effect, you know, there's like those spark lines from the impact, mm-hmm. but it's like just total silence. I was like, oh, God. That's awkward. It feels very odd.
Yeah, why didn't he just slam his hand down on the mat, you know? That's something I know about wrestling. So then I watched Captain Lou's Crash Diet, which is an episode where he has to lose 40 pounds in 10 days. And the Hulk is basically like immediately like, well, that doesn't sound too hard. Like,
Of course. Now it's hard for him. Nothing for Hulk Hogan. What's weird as well is that's like a really dumb premise, because wrestling is one of the only, you know, quote unquote combat sports that does not have weigh-ins at all. There is no weight division. I mean, there's weight divisions in that there's the heavyweight belt, but like anyone can win it. Like, it doesn't have to be the big guys. And why would he need to lose weight? Like, the heavyweight belt has no upper limit whatsoever. Like, literally the heavier he is, the better.
Right.
But I suppose they needed a plot.
Yeah, and it was fairly ridiculous. Like, the whole episode is like everybody telling him how they lose weight. And it's like the Hulk takes him. I don't know why I keep calling him the Hulk. The Hulkster takes him on a run through the park, like holding weights. And instead of that, he like throws the weights in a trash can and gets a bunch of ice cream cones. And then like, you know, Andre the Giant is like, oh, when I wanted to lose weight, I would just cut my diet in half, and then gives him half of an Andre sized meal. And he's like, that's more food than I usually eat, but if you say it works. And then like Junkyard Dog like makes him clean up the junkyard. And then in the end, he was the same weight. And he was like, wait a minute, I'll throw these out. He's got like a bunch of sandwiches in his pocket. And he's just got like 40 pounds worth of food on his person. I'm like,
of course he does. Of course he does.
This show's so ridiculous.
I mean, I think it was fairly successful.
The show?
Probably just off the, basis of like how successful wrestling was at the time. But like, I don't know who was watching this. Like, because even the kid fans, you know, why wouldn't you just watch wrestling? And I know it's like, you know, it's seeing them in cartoon form and stuff. But it's so far removed from the thing you watch them for that it's weird to me. Like, you know, at least when they do the wrestling cartoons now, like Scooby-Doo at WrestleMania.
Right.
I can see, like, where the wrestling part is and how, like, young wrestling fans would enjoy it. And they've got, like, the proper voices in and stuff. But that one's just, like, it's just odd. It's just a weirdly cheap and reskinned Captain Planet. It's just them just getting up to adventures.
Well, I mean, whenever they do like a live action interstitial where it's like Captain Lou did one about like a food PSA or something like that, you're like, oh, I can see why they wouldn't cast these people to play themselves because they all sound terrible. Like the real people would not be able to enunciate enough to be understood in cartoon form, except for like, I guess like Hulk and probably Roddy. I don't know. Like, I know they're all actors, but they don't work in just their voices, you know?
Hulk, Roddy, Macho Man definitely would.
Was Macho Man like a part of the whole deal at this time? And he just wasn't a part of the show?
Oh, yeah, Macho was big. It might have been this show might have came out just before he kind of really hit the scene or like was a megastar. But like he was, you know, very much like him and Hulk were the mega powers. Like that was like the big thing when like the two biggest names in the company joined forces.
Right.
They did actually want them to get to voice their own characters, but they chose not to just because of their heavy, like, traveling schedules. So they're kind of all over the place and hard to pin down. But what struck me as really odd is not only did the people, the cast, not really sound like them, they didn't imitate, like, any of their mannerisms. Like you said before, Hulk said to Lou Albano, like, oh, you gotta go to the gym, brother. In the episode I watched, Hulk Hogan never once said brother.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, I hear Hulk Hogan talk and he doesn't ever say a sentence without saying the word brother, never mind a whole 20 minutes.
He does say dude a lot in the show, though. He's like, we gotta get these dudes out of here. We gotta save those dudes, even when he's like talking about astronauts.
Yeah, of course.
So that's pretty, like, I think that he calls the president of the United States dude and the president calls him the Hulkster. So that's pretty fun.
Amazing. Amazing.
The last episode that I watched was called Muscle Madness. And basically, Wendy and Moolah go up against each other in like a strong woman competition. And like Moolah doesn't want to do any work. So instead, they slice her arms open and they put balloons in there and they inflate them. And then when she's doing the weightlifting competition, they use a giant magnet to make it easier.
They slice her arms open.
Yes. Without anesthetic, seemingly.
How does that work?
I don't know. They like put balloons inside of her, under her skin. And then she's like, that didn't do anything. And they're like, just watch. So that they start blowing on the little inflatable part and her arms get bigger. I'm like, ugh. And then as she's doing the competition, her arms pop open. It's really mortifying. I did not like
that. That is weird.
Yeah,
that's taking us back a little bit there. I'm gonna need to watch that episode to see like exactly how this goes down, because that is odd.
Yeah, and it's kind of incredible. Like, she's like cheating at the competition by using a magnet to make it easier for her to pick up the 275 pound weight, but to make it harder for Wendy, that guy like pulls the magnet the wrong way and it goes over the judge. And then they're like, oh, Moolah, pick up the weight again to save the judge. And she can't do it, but Wendy can. So Wendy saves the day and wins the competition. And it's like,
amazing.
I get that they want to make good guys and bad guys and make that distinction. But the fact that they make the good guys so incredibly competent and the bad guys so incredibly incompetent is so ridiculous in this show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, again, though, that's just like, I bet that was to do with like Hulk Hogan's branding.
Yeah, his
that was
ego.
Like him at the time.
Right.
That was him at the time, like 100%. It was like, it wasn't on, like, not only could he not lose, he had to look good in winning. Like,
right.
You know, he wasn't allowed to get beat up. He wasn't allowed to, like, make the other person look good. It was very much like, he's going to go in there, you'll throw a punch at him, but he just won't feel a thing because he's so strong.
Right.
And then he did his whole Hulk up dance where he'd like flex his muscles and get vicious and then just like absolutely annihilate the other person. And yay, Hulk Hogan wins and sells a lot of toys again.
Yeah, the whole thing is fairly ridiculous, but I loved it. I would recommend watching, if you're going to watch another episode, Daniel, do the Muscle Madness one.
Well, definitely, because I need to see this whole thing with Moolah.
Yeah, it was pretty mortifying. I did not like it. Oh, and the space episode. Watch Muscle Madness and The Wrong Stuff. The Wrong Stuff was a real highlight for me. Just like Hulk Hogan awesome. Rocketing his way through space to save the day, and then the president calls him the Hulkster. I was very throttled about that.
The thing is, right, I can guarantee there'll be more ridiculous Hulk Hogan media out there because, like, oh my god, there's some absolute madness. Like, in terms of, like, the toys and stuff, there was, like, ridiculous things out there. But, like, he's starting, like, commercials for...
Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Yeah, Gremlins 2, he appears, you know, he appeared in that, like, Leslie Nielsen spy film as, like, a cameo. There's, like, a bit where he's, like, fighting the villain and he just tags in Hulk Hogan all of a sudden. There's so many ridiculous shit just out there with him, his name attached to it. And then, like, if you get into, like, the commercials and stuff, there's, like, someone dug up the other day, he has Hulk Hogan selling oil in Saudi Arabia for, like, a petrol company. And it's just him. Just flexing, and he's just like dubbed in Saudi Arabian's like native language or whatever, and yeah, it's just him like selling oil, and it's just like, how the hell did you pop up here? You know what I mean? Like, you're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Would you recommend people watch this show?
No.
That's fair. Do you think it's just too problematic with all the murderers and pimps and bad people walking around, or what?
That definitely doesn't help it hold up at all. But I also think, I think it's interesting, and if you're into wrestling, it's like, it's well worth watching as like this kind of like weird artifact of like wrestling at its biggest pop cultural osmosis, up until like the 90s attitude era. If like that cartoon was made now, it'd be like way edgier, even in today's like PG WWE era,
right.
Like nothing's that squeaky clean cut anymore. And it's interesting that go back to that time where it was just like the Americans are the goodies and the foreigners are the baddies and the goodies are so, so good and nothing can get them down. And the baddies are like, oh, they're so, you know, pie in face, kind of like, I'll teach them baddies, you know, like that kind of dynamic. It is interesting. It's a hell of an artifact and I'm glad I watched it and I will probably watch more of it. But could I recommend it? Probably not. It's really, really poorly animated. Very transparently slapped together with, you know, voice actors that don't sound anything like the counterparts.
Right.
Scripts that don't read anything like those characters' voices. Characters not acting like any other characters apart from Hulk Hogan, who in the show is just perfect of everything, much as he was trying to sell himself on TV at the time. But yeah, it's a weird, weird thing. It's this strange little treasure that's worth looking at once, but yeah, I can't recommend it.
Yeah, I would say the same. I would say check out the episode The Wrong Stuff. The space one is sort of just like a great piece of 80s animated American exceptionalism and ego from Hulk Hogan. So that's sort of fun. Aside from that, the whole thing is not as ridiculous as you'd like it to be. You know, like, I would hope that there was, like, a bunch more cameos, them fighting vampires and stuff like that, but it never really goes to that sort of extreme.
Yeah, like, they should be, like, you know, being called in by the army when they're pinned down by a tank and, like, Hulk Hogan has to, like, tear off the turret of a tank. Like, that's what I want.
Right. But, yeah, it was fun talking to you today, Daniel. Where can people find you online?
At GeekyGlossTV on Twitter, GeekyGlossTV on YouTube, and GeekyGlossTV on Instagram. Very easy to find, same name in all three places.
Great. And I'm on Twitter at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Well, Hulk, as long as you like to meet and greet fans across the country and around the world, I wonder if I could prevail upon you to meet some members of my family.
I would love to meet your family. When can I meet them, Gino?
Right now. Come on in. This is my mother, Jean.
Oh.
Hulk Hogan. Come on in. My lovely wife, Jeannie.
Beautiful.
Good to see you again. It's been a while. And this is my daughter, Bobby Jean.
Hello.
And this is my son, Mean Gene Jr.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.